The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. It's Professor Chuck Hokett from Information Technology Services.
Hello there. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Excellent. I'm very much appreciating your commitment to men's health through Movember.
I'm trying.
There you go.
I'm trying.
For a while, my brain wasn't put together the right way. I didn't get it. I'm like, who's Mo? Why are we doing this Vember for him? And like, I get November.
Curly's brother.
What's the M for? Yeah, exactly. Mo Howard. There you go. We need a whole month dedicated to the Three Stooges.
I need a whole month to grow it. You don't.
You know, it's just the way it goes.
He just needs a blink.
This is just the way it goes. Dan Maggio, how's it going, man?
Good. Do you like my mustache for a Movember?
It's awesome. It's awesome.
I try.
You're really
I've been trying it since I was a baby.
You're doing quite well. Have you ever had any facial hair, Dan?
I have, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't remember. Maybe you had a goatee at one point?
I think in college I had a mustache. I think I had a goatee for a little bit. That's okay. About it.
I think so. I think I remember that.
Yeah, I was never much for the facial hair.
Very interesting. I learned on Jeopardy the other night that goatee actually is not goatee. Goatee is just the chin hair. Or the whole thing together is the
Van Dyke,
named after the famous painter.
I thought it was named after the street. Oh.
Yep. Well, that too. right? Professor Roy Finkenbein, I'm trying to find a way to transition away from the facial hair before we get to the women.
I'm sorry. I was going to interject something about facial hair. I used to have a big, full beard.
Really?
And I thought since I'm on sabbatical, this term would be the ideal time to grow it back. And then I realized, when last I had it, it was red.
Oh, I see.
It may not be
it
now.
It would not be now.
Were you playing for the Red Sox then, too, or what?
Yeah, really.
Just could dye Pedroia. Your hair, though.
Oh, my.
First, I'd have to color some on. But I don't know if they sell that stuff anymore, the stringy spray stuff.
Oh, yeah.
What, silly string or the spray on hair?
I have some at home, stop by sometimes.
Unbelievable. Professor Dave Chow is sporting a fine mustache and goatee.
And if I take it off, my wife will kill me.
So now what would we
really?
Call that?
Really? Why is that?
Oh, there's one time I shaved it off for my brother's wedding about 13, 14 years ago. She swore she was dating like a 12-year-old.
Oh, man.
I have a baby face underneath all this.
Is that a goatee? What is that?
What is that?
That's a Van Dyke.
Dirt.
The full
dirt.
Van Dyke.
That's the Van Dyke?
Well, yeah, same as Chuck. When you have goatee and mustache, it's a Van Dyke.
But see, your mustache
will not connect.
His does, so there's probably a different name.
I cannot connect. I'm just spotty. I blame it on heredity.
Professor Kendra Evans, help us get out of this topic somehow.
What would you call it?
I was almost prepared to just classify my own facial hair, but okay, we'll avoid it.
I don't think it's a good idea.
No bearded ladies here.
It could be artsy, yeah.
Wait, hold it now.
All I had left was like, how's your Movember going?
She's not shaving her legs. How's about that?
How are things, Kendra?
Things are very well, thank you.
We may not see you again sometime soon, so we want to be very, very careful to make sure we fit you into a few more shows before you go and do what you have to do.
That is true. I may not be here as early as now.
Wait a minute.
But we're not hoping for that.
That's right. And second children, they're usually, they're more on time than the first, right? So you still get a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Well, I actually have less than 2 weeks till my due date already, so it's hard to say. But I anticipate maybe not right now.
It's going to coincide very well with Thanksgiving, it looks like, huh?
Well, it is a day before Thanksgiving due date.
Yes, it could be very interesting.
Have you lined up somebody to take over for your classes if you have your baby early?
Professor Mayo is not filling in for me in chemistry classes.
I didn't know about
but
that.
He might be filling in for me in other ways. I forgot to ask if you would mind to stand in as an emergency contact for my research team.
Sure,
so
sure.
Go ahead and throw that on the table.
Matt's beard
but it has
white.
Been arranged, yes. through the chair of my department, thank goodness. He's overseeing all of that.
Perfect.
Very awesome.
Well, anytime Professor Benvenuto is involved with something, it becomes interesting.
Downright explosive. Professor Diane Manica is here with us as well.
And it's so good to be here.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
How are things wrapping up for the term?
Oh, quickly.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. We're at the Ides of November.
Are you looking forward to the return of your chair?
Yes, actually, although it's almost like she's not been gone.
Oh, wow.
She's on a Fulbright to the Republic of Georgia.
Wow.
Sure, sure.
Wow. Awesome.
Lori McDonald, Dr. McDonald.
Wow. Yeah, that's right. So, very cool.
Very nice.
She's been communicating with us by email almost every day, which is cool.
Awesome. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166 or send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. We had our crack research team do some research because we had some wonderful questions on our last show about Thanksgiving. There were a couple crossovers there with the Detroit Lions and on the Detroit Thanksgiving Parade with regard to Detroit and Thanksgiving. And the research, for the record, because I believe Professor Finkenbein pointed out, the very first Thanksgiving NFL game was done just a few yards away from where we are right now. The year was 1934. It was the Lions versus the Bears. And sadly, the Lions were not able to eke out a victory, losing 19-16 in a classic holiday struggle that continues to this very day.
It was the beginning of a tradition.
Jason Hansen missed the field goal,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes. It's very interesting. It actually was the year after, the article states, the Portsmouth, Ohio Spartans moved to Detroit and became the Lions and joined the NFL. So the Cowboys only started in 1966. Yeah. We've been doing it quite a bit longer than they have.
Tom Emmett, who's in our Hall of Honor and who is still alive, in his 80s, still doing educational consulting.
Wow.
Was here and met with Garibaldi a couple of years ago, and then he met with me as dean. And mainly he shared stories. So I called in Jason and Tom Stanton because his father was the first general manager when the Spartans became the Lions.
Here. Wow.
And as a 5 or 6 year old kid, he could remember meeting with the Jesuit leadership here to sign the lease. He tagged along with his father, and then driving several vehicles down in a caravan to Portsmouth to get the team and their uniforms. And they had this debate in his father's car on the way back because his father didn't like the green uniforms that the Spartans played in. So by the time they got to Columbus, they decided on blue, and they left the green uniforms in a dumpster in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. As the story goes, when they were trying to put together what the final uniforms would be like, it would have been, I believe it was the wife of the owner looking at the color palette. And as he was about to go into the meeting to make the final decision, she says, "I'm pretty sure this Honolulu blue and silver looks good." And then that became the starting point for the conversation. So there you go. Town Club, by the way, has a fantastic cream soda, which I believe is just their regular cream soda, colored blue for Thanksgiving, called Honolulu Blue.
It looks like wiper fluid, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it does.
But it looks like wiper fluid.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps the last time we left our heroes, we were talking about some questions from Andrew Wellman of Gulfport, Florida. We hadn't even read one. He had set together a wonderful set of questions about the 84 World Series and its place in the long history of modern baseball. Thank you so much for sending these in, Andrew. We're so happy to have you, and we're going to read these, and feel free to send us any more when you so desire.
Please do.
On what date was Game 5 played, the game in which the Tigers clinched the World Series championship?
October 10th, Sunday.
It was not October 10th.
It was during the week, because I was in school.
Okay.
October 12th.
No, it was the 14th. It says October 14th, 1984. Because the format of the league championships expanded to 7 games in 85, only one other World Series game since 1984 has been played earlier than October 15th, game one of the 89 series. That's kind of an interesting twist.
Chuck, was it a World Series game?
It says that was game 5 of the World Series. What date?
Chuck could be right.
It was a Sunday.
Really?
I assume.
Oh, wow.
I was here.
I'm not, going to fact check this.
I assumed it was during the week.
Interesting.
Because of the people that I was with, but maybe they were on campus at Sunday.
Our crack research team may come up with that.
Michael's looking up now. You never know.
I don't have the math skill to calculate day of week.
Frankly, with all due respect to the listener, I'm trusting Professor Hogan on this one because people don't forget those sorts of things. Game 5 also marked the last World Series game ever to incorporate a phenomenon that's actually quite common for Major League Baseball during the year now. What was it?
Seventh inning stretch?
No. Nope.
Bulk?
I don't know.
A triple?
Triple play? No, double nope. play? That's common now?
Player hitting more than 2 home runs?
No. This is really interesting, and I think this is something you could think of.
Something that's common now? A DH?
Nope, no. Not designated hitter.
Has it to do with the team or the crowd?
It has to do with the game. And the environs in which it was played.
Night games? Night. Played at night.
To date, it's the last World Series game that was played with no help of lights, using only daylight to play the game. First pitch was at 4 o'clock, although the most recently played World Series day game was Game 6 of the 87 World Series. It was played indoors at the Metrodome, so that doesn't really count as natural daylight. But they never turned the lights on. That's what it says, never turn the lights on. Only one Padres pitcher started 2 games for the series. He later pitched for the Tigers in 86 and 87. It wasn't Goose Gossage. Initials MT. Pretty famous name around these parts. Because 87 was one of the last best times the Tigers had a chance to crack the series.
Oh, started for the...
He started Padres. For the Padres twice and then played for the Tigers in 86 and 87. No ideas, huh? What was the oldest, for those of you who know your congressional history, the oldest senator ever? His last name was... So it was...
Mark Thurmond?
Mark Thurmond was his name, yes. Ended up playing for the Tigers.
Oh, I was going to say it wasn't Strom Thurmond.
It was not Strom Thurmond. Yeah. He did lots of things,
he rolled the ball to home plate. Maybe.
Yes. Tiger hitters combined for 7 home runs in the 5-game series. Trammell and Gibson each hit 2. Lance Parrish, Larry Herndon, and one other Tiger hit 1. Who was the other Tiger?
Darrell Evans?
Not. It was the third baseman.
Marty Castillo.
Marty Castillo. Hint number 1. His home run put the Tigers ahead in Game 3. There you go. Hint number 2. He also gained local fame by starring in a popular local commercial for Little Caesars. Absolutely. Sadly, several players who saw action in the 8-4 World Series would be passed on within 10 years. Mm. How many exactly, and can you name them? It's kind of freaky if you
On the Detroit team?
It. No, this is actually either teams.
Okay.
Dave Dervecki?
Nope.
No?
I know, was it Aurelio Lopez?
Aurelio Lopez was one. He died in an auto accident in 92.
Hernandez?
No, he's still kicking.
The other two were Padres. I'm
trying to think. Oh... Who was the MVP for the Padres at the time?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if I would have got this, but I remember that these two passed away. It says Padre pitcher Eric Show OD'd in 94, and Padre infielder Alan Wiggins contracted AIDS. No, so he died in 1991. So 3 people on those teams were passed away within a decade.
Mm.
One player actually played for both the Tigers and the Padres in 1984, but did not pitch the World Series. Who was he?
Oh, hold on.
Initials SM.
SM. No.
Let's see. I'm not sure if you're going to be able to get it, and I would try very, very hard to come up with a hint for you. Sid Mangi is what it says?
Sid Mangi, the relief pitcher.
He pitched in 13 games for the Padres, was sold to Detroit on June 10th, and then appeared in 19 more Tigers games. Tigers lost only one game during the series, Game 2. Padre pitcher Andy Hawkins, who came in for relief after starting pitcher Ed Whitson, was knocked out of the game in the first inning after giving up 3 runs and only 18 pitches, was awarded the decision. What is especially unique about Hawkins' victory, the reliever?
He pitched the other 8?
Let's see here. It's actually a lengthy response, so I want to make sure.
He finished the game?
Wow. It's the only World Series victory by a Padres pitcher in history. The Padres are swept by the Yankees in their only other World Series appearance in 1998, so it's the only time they've ever won a World Series game. Name the Padres DH who hit 2 home runs in the World Series and hit .412, despite the fact that Dodger manager Tommy Lasorda once said in a profane tape-recorded-for-posterity locker room tirade, he, quote, couldn't hit water if it fell out of a bleeping boat. That's the way baseball works. It's a DH. Initials KB.
Mashed potatoes.
Yams or mashed potatoes.
Is that the wrong question? KB.
It says Kurt Bevacqua.
Okay.
there's sort of makes sense. Water. Aqua. In what could only be described as an incredible display of boneheadedness, members of the Baseball Writers of America have yet to vote a single player from the 1984 Tigers team into the Baseball Hall of Fame. However, two players from the 84 Padres have been inducted in Cooperstown. Who are they? Why don't you go back to where you started, Chuck? The first name you gave us for these questions. He had an interesting mustache.
Raleigh Gossage. Fingers.
Goose Gossage.
Goose Gossage.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And
who's the other one? Who's the hitter?
T.G.
Tony Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn.
That's the one I was thinking of. His son's playing.
Yep.
Finally. I think Tony is coaching college baseball now.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That's right, yeah. Where is he? Like San Diego State or something like that?
San Diego State, I believe.
Or USC or something like that?
San Diego State.
That's nice.
Finally, Kirk Gibson is remembered for hitting two home runs during the series, clinching Game 5, as well as scoring the go-ahead run on a sacrifice fly from which Tigers pinch hitter?
Pinch hitter?
Mm-hmm.
Not like Sean Casey or anybody?
Nope. Initials
no,
initials RK.
Sean Casey didn't start till 899.
That's right. I'm sorry, what were the initials?
Initials RK. It's rather interesting. So let's get Kendra in on this. So, what might someone's Kibble? First name be if it involved the oxidation of iron?
Rusty Koontz.
Yes, it was Rusty Koontz. Forever immortalized after he recorded the game-winning RBI of the series.
Your voice is deepened.
Good answer.
Wow. Thanks a lot.
It's that
great
no
question.
Shaving thing.
Yes, that was your baseball voice.
Dear Ask the Professor Radio people. That's what we are.
Hi,
people.
That's
we are.
That would be us.
As a longtime listener to the show, when it was on K-Earth in the L.A. area, I was saddened when your fine show was abruptly taken off the air. Ooh. Not just taken off the air. It was abrupt.
Abruptly.
I was left to wander the radio dial aimlessly without your show for years.
Like the tribes of Israel here.
For 40 days. 40 years.
Wandering. Eating manna.
Yep, they're eating manna.
Frustrating.
Yeah. Can't find it.
With the advent of the internet age, I was pleasantly surprised to see not only was your show still on the air, but it had podcasts of older episodes that I had savored in my youth. I've since started downloading them and have had hours of hilarity. It's like there's some sort of parenthetical about and wait. Several other hours of crying. Rather than just be a consumer of a fine product, I've taken it upon myself to submit 15 questions to the show. It was something I never did back in the day, and now I'm making my amends.
Well, thank you.
I hope you can use these questions on your show. Hint, hint, we can. Thank you very much for still being on the air. We've done everything we can. Amber Hubley of San Diego, California.
Speaking of San Diego.
Warm weather.
Yes. Enjoy your two Cooperstown Hall of Famers. Oh, we don't even have one. Where did Bo Jackson attend and play college football?
Auburn.
Yes.
He was a Tiger.
Speaking of iron, Auburn, that's the Iron Bowl is between them and Bama, right? What geographical term describes a narrow strip of land that connects two land areas?
Isthmus.
An isthmus. What a wonderful word that is.
Now, let's spell it. No, I'm just kidding.
I-S-T-H-M-U-S.
Way too much spitting.
Isthmus. Trying to think of, do we have any isthmus around here? Not particularly. Okay. This form of intellectual entertainment made its debut in December 1913 in an edition of the New York World newspaper. What is it?
Crossword puzzle?
Yeah, it's 100 years old this year. Aww. Absolutely. Yep. Wow. You do those, Dan?
I try them. I try them.
Sample.
Some are easier than others.
I'm not good with words.
The New York Times, did it specify New York Times?
New York World is what it was called.
World.
Yeah.
Is that paper even
a Well, the New York Times crossword puzzles are the hardest I've ever seen. Yeah. I always get like one out of all the clues, literally.
There's one day out of the week, and I've forgotten which day, that the New York Times puzzle is can actually be done.
It's Monday.
By humans.
It's supposed to get progressively more difficult.
Okay. As the week goes on.
Yes. That's my understanding
of Kenny,
it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does them all the time. Almost
completely.
Finishes them every day of the week. Wow. I think that comes from practice.
Wow. Well, it is.
Well, yeah. You have to know
the answers.
He's used to the clues.
Yeah, the clues repeat.
The verbiage. Yeah, you get used to the verbiage.
But I will say, though, I mean, because I had a book of the Sunday ones, and it was like, you couldn't get used to those. But bet if I did the Monday ones.
Yeah. And then you could say, I can do the New York Times crossword puzzle.
Yeah. I'll give those a go.
In what city was it that Albert Einstein developed his famous theory of relativity?
Berlin.
was not Berlin, but it was another city that starts with the letter B in a different country.
Boston.
Not Boston. It was a European country.
Bern?
It was Bern, Switzerland. Yes, nice. Absolutely. I was about to say something about neutrality, but you beat me to it, Ryan. That's good. During the entire run of Charles Schulz's drawn comic strip Peanuts, what was the reason ever for rerunning old storylines? It only happened
once. Didn't he have like back surgery? Surgery, or he was laid up for at least a little bit?
Nope. That's not what it says here.
Anniversary special?
Did he finally take a vacation with the family?
He did take a vacation. He took a 5-week vacation for his 75th birthday in 1997. Wow. That's a hardcore.
That man was a fiend.
He was a beast.
Yeah.
A beast. What alcoholic beverage had the tagline, "Something different"?
Zima. That's restaurant Royal Oak.
What alcoholic beverage can you... Zumba is also like an exercise.
I know it is. I know. Zima.
Can you pound as you lose weight? Yeah, exactly. Zima. Whatever happened to the clear malt beverages? It went the way of clear Pepsi, I guess, huh?
Mm-hmm. Not enough brominated oils, right?
So what's the answer, Zima?
Zima.
Okay. I think it couldn't compete with Smirnoff. I think that was the problem with Zima.
Oh, my.
Smirnoff had a bigger name.
Mm-hmm.
And they charged slightly more, so it seemed higher quality.
Yeah, right.
Blame it on packaging.
I was a fan of Stolichnaya, but we'll talk about that later. Who are the two actors that played the villains in the first installment of the movie series Home Alone, the original? By the way, a fantastic
Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci. No, and who was the other
Joe
one?
Joe Pesci. Tall, skinny guy.
The other
He's
guy.
The voice on...
Initials D.S.
Daniel.
Yep.
I can see him.
Stern. Yes.
He was in...
I can see him.
What a great
What's that? Billy Crystal. City Slickers. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. I know I'm revealing too much, and somehow I got dragged to see that movie. I don't even think it was a date, but I've never stopped thinking about that movie since. That's in my top five for movies of all time.
Stereo.
I love that movie. When that tall guy screams at the top of his lungs... cannot restrain my laughter. I'm sorry. Which two state governors have actually been recalled from office? The first was 1921.
And his name was Mickelson.
No, it's not what it says here.
No.
North Dakota or South Dakota?
It says North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Initials LF for North Dakota.
Okay.
It says here Lynn Frazier was recalled in North Dakota.
Who was the one in California?
Maybe Mickelson recently? Was the person that replaced him.
Possibly,
check that out.
Possibly.
Now, who was
and the only
in
reason I know that is because I had a college professor that told me that once, and his name was Mickelson.
There you go. The other one was California.
Gray Davis, wasn't
Gray
it?
Gray Davis, yeah. 2003. Yep. That's right. Absolutely. Recalled governors.
And I think we're learning from the Rob Ford thing, not to keep harping on this, but there's value in having a government in which you can remove... a bad politician.
Oh, my gosh.
They seem to be having loads of trouble figuring out how they're going to get rid of this.
Yes. Yes.
Harpoons work well.
Well, he admitted it. I'm not.
Yeah. It's like, it's okay. He admitted he's a crackhead. Oh, my.
I just want to go on record. I didn't know I was using crack cocaine because I was too drunk.
Just when you thought Kwame was bad.
I know. There was some classic episode of The Simpsons where Homer was supposed to guard something and then he doesn't do a very good job and whatever item gets stolen and the next morning the papers pronounce, you know, Simpson asleep at the switch. And he goes, I was not asleep. I was really, really drunk. And Bart observes, it's okay. I believe you, Dad. After L.A., what's the most populated California city whose name does not start with the letter S? Because I believe number two is
Anaheim.
Sacramento.
Or San Francisco.
It's not.
Or San Diego. I mean,
no S. No S.
Oh, yeah,
no S, though. What is it? So no Sacramento, no San
Oakland?
Diego.
Long Beach?
Long Beach is what it says here. Yes, Long Beach. I hear they have a Long Beach there.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Hanks won Best Actor 2 years in a row, if you remember. Name the movies and the years.
Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump. 94. Professor Evans.
Philadelphia.
Philly was...
93.
Very well done.
Good for you.
Yep.
50-50 shot, right?
Boy, he's been around a while.
Yeah, he really has.
People have managed to forget Bosom Buddies.
I remember that.
I've never heard of them.
You know, you've never heard of
them? It was a TV sitcom.
I've never heard of them.
Two guys lived in a female housing, and they dressed like women to be there until they got in their apartment.
That sounds wonderful.
It was wonderful.
He's so funny.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I just think that is lovable.
Splash. No, mm-hmm. Does everybody love Tom Hanks?
It's somebody once said that it's a very interesting archetype to do make the jump from little screen to big screen. But we've got a lot of people who are so ingrained in movie culture now, you wouldn't have believed that they started on TV. You know, some people don't believe George Clooney. You know, who lit the Olympic torch at the 1996 Summer Games in Atlanta, Georgia?
Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali. Yes, very iconic scene of him lighting that torch.
A painful scene, as I recall.
Painful, yes. Yeah. He was shaking quite a bit. Yeah.
And
quite
a bit. Somebody also told me that, you know, the torch prior to being lit, it is just like spitting gas constantly. So there's no way you could possibly even miss. Wow. Supposedly.
Wow. I just remember the Jeff Foxworthy monologue about the Olympics in Atlanta, where he says, "You know, they're not going to have a flame that big without a pig on it."
Oh my!
On a rotating
pig roast. There are four state capitals in the United States named after former presidents. Who and
Jefferson
what
City,
are they?
Jefferson Missouri.
City, Missouri. Mm-hmm.
Lincoln.
Nebraska.
Lincoln, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. Oh, boy. No President Lansing.
How about...
you specified state capitals.
State capitals. So there's no President Montpelier either. How about Old Hickory was...
Jackson,
Mississippi. And last but not least, probably the one of these that's closest to us.
Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes.
And I only say that because there was no president in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I had the same problem with Columbus.
Yeah.
At least mine makes sense.
President Springfield, yeah, exactly. Who is Elizabeth Taylor's very first husband?
Michael
Fisher.
Somebody would.
Eddie Fisher.
Mm-hmm. Is that what it says here? It was the, I'll give it away if I say
not
this, but he was a hotelier.
Oh, Hilton.
Conrad Hilton.
Conrad Hilton Jr., yes.
Oh, Jr.
There were so many.
It's can't quite true.
Them, wait, yeah. She was married to Eddie Fisher?
Yep.
I believe she was, but I don't know if it was her first husband.
Ken Burton twice.
Yep. Yeah. Larry, mm-hmm. whatever.
The last guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Plumber. Larry Fortensky or something
yeah.
like that.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
It was like a plumber.
That was kind of a tragic thing.
You know, I don't know how we get from Elizabeth Taylor to here, but maybe there's some sort of connection. The last of the 10 plagues upon Egypt before the Exodus.
She wasn't in the Ten Commandments.
Larry Fortensky.
Larry Fortensky is correct. What was the last of the 10 plagues?
Oh, the killing of the firstborn.
Yes, killing of the firstborn. Suddenly, I got a vision of watching the Ten Commandments on TV.
Yul Brynner having his son.
I like the Edward G. Robinson character in Ten Commandments.
My gosh. You're going to have to think about that one, Sheen. As we first say goodbye, Professor Hokett.
Goodbye.
Professor Maggio.
Goodbye.
Professor Finkenbein.
Farewell.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Evans.
Adios.
Professor Manica.
Au revoir.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu. Or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, ask the professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and technically directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile.